Psalm number 1, we'll read verses 1 through 6. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. I'd like to have you read along with me on the even-numbered verses. Psalm number 6. Psalm number 1, 1 through 6. And let's stand together as we read. Blessed is the man that counseleth of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do ask, Lord, your blessing upon our time together this morning. We thank you for this portion of Scripture and ask your blessing upon it. Lord, we pray that you would use it to your Holy Spirit would speak it to our hearts this morning. And as we hear the message, that we be receptive to the word that we hear today. Lord, we do pray if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Savior, that they might come to know you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated and turn to number 513 in your songbook, 513. I saw Jesus, and you will sing both verses.
When I enter heaven's glory, and I see my Savior's face, I will offer him 10,000 years of praise. Then I'll find that special one, in whose life I saw God's Son, and through tears and joy with trembling words I'll say, I saw Jesus in you, I saw Jesus in you. I could hear his voice in the words you said, I saw Jesus in you.
Sickness and other things bothering this morning. The devil's trying to disrupt our service, isn't he, in some way? We want to pray for people that are not feeling well, that's for sure. Michelle is having a physical difficulty. We want to remember her. And I believe God has something great for us today. I didn't know if I was going to be able to make it to the service. My wife kicked me out of bed and said, "You get going, hon." And no, not really. She said, "You should stay home." And I said, "Yes, I should, but I'm going." And anyway... I'm glad this morning. What an opportunity for us. I think about what. I want to just pause just a moment. I'm not sure exactly what's wrong with Michelle, but I know that she'd had a serious medical issue. So let's just stop and pray for her right now, would you? Father in heaven, full that you know all things, you know our needs. And right now I pray for Michelle. And Lord, whatever may be going on physically there, you know, and give those in our church that have expertise in nursing, give them wisdom to know what to do there. And we just commit her and her health to you at this moment. And Lord, we just pray now that you would sanctify this hour. I pray, Lord, that you'd bind any forces that would resist the work of God. I pray that the whole liberty in our hearts and minds, that you'd fill us with the Holy Spirit. Lord, if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus as Savior, I pray their heart would be open to him. And I pray that you'd just give us a great time around your word this morning as we listen to Brother Jeremy's testimony. Just bless us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's amazing how God works. I was contemplating the story that some of the story that hit me yesterday, and I thought, you know, our stories are all similar, just different circumstances. And this is just an old country guy driving down a country road, inviting boys to Sunday school, that stopped by and invited my dad to Sunday school. And my dad went and got saved, and then his family got saved, and then his family got saved. And, you know, God using people to get the gospel out in different areas. Increased focus on missions this year. I forgot to mention, in the back of the auditorium, in the hallway there, or the vestibule area, is a box of some goodies that we're going to send to Joshua and Sada Whitman in Imola, Italy. And so there's a list of things back there that Debbie Lindley got together for us. So if you want to look at that after the service, we want you to do that. But we've had an increased focus on missions, trying to keep you more abreast on our missionaries and what a need around the world. We went to war in Iraq quite a while ago, several years ago. I remember us praying as a church that God would use that for an opportunity of the gospel. Well, there's a radio station in Baghdad broadcasting the gospel 24/7. He's connected with that ministry as well. And I hope you're going to share about God's answered prayer for the radio. So, okay, I sure want to give his testimony this morning, but I'm going to let him do that today. So, the people of Iran. I got to share this. We're sitting in the hallway, or standing in the hallway, and I said, "What was it like to come out of Islam, to hear about the gospel and come to know Christ?" Were you going to share this, or can I?
No, you share.
Okay. And he said, "Man, turning from darkness to light." And that's what it is, isn't it? Brother Jeremy, it's great to have you with us this morning. You come and share. God bless you, sir.
Bless you. Thank you, Pastor. Good to be here. Good morning, all. And it's good to be here, and I'm so glad that I met your pastor, and I want to thank your pastor for his faithfulness that he's been serving for the last 30 years, and that's amazing. And Jesus is not looking for a pastor, but good and faithful, and that's all we have to be. We have to be good and faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, my name is Michael Germi, and I was born and raised in Iran, Islamic country, and as you know, Islam has five pillars. Five fundamentals that every Muslim should follow, those five pillars, that they might have kind of opportunity to go to heaven. They're not sure of going to heaven. There's no assurance of salvation. It doesn't matter what religion you call it. There is no assurance of salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the only, the author of life. He gives us his life, eternal life. But five pillars that we have to follow and practice. The first one is Shahadat. Shahadat is a profession of faith that every Muslim should say. La ilaha illallah means there is no God but Allah. So they have to profess that. And the second one is Salat. Salat is a prayer that every day, five times a day, toward Mecca, toward just one direction, in Arabic language, not any other language. Like if you pray in English, if you want to convert to Islam, you have to learn Arabic to pray in Arabic language. That's the only language Allah knows. He doesn't understand English. So he's such a dumb God. The third one is zakat. Zakat is an alm that you pay money, like 20%, not 10% of your income, to the mosque for benefit of poor people and needy people. And the fourth one is psalm. Psalm is a fasting during the month of Ramadan that you have to fast 1 month in a year, and you don't fast like whole year, whole month without eating. No, they get up in the morning around 4 or 5 o'clock, and they pray, and then they eat. They eat like a big breakfast, very big breakfast, because they're not going to eat till but about 6 o'clock in the evening. They break their fasting and they start eating like pigs. They eat a lot. So in Ramadan, it's not really fasting. It's like feasting, and you see food everywhere. They eat a lot on that month. They call it fasting, but I call it feasting. And the fifth one is Hajj. Hajj is a pilgrimage that every Muslim should pilgrimage to Mecca and go around that black stone Mecca. They call it Kaaba, but they claim that Abraham built that house for Allah so people can go and worship Allah. But Abraham never went to Saudi Arabia. God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Promised Land, or land of Israel, Canaan. So he did. He never went down towards Mecca. He went to Egypt, but not to Saudi Arabia. But anyway, so these five pillars that they have to follow, do that. And Islam has two main groups, Sunnis and Shiites. Sunnis are like independent Baptist churches. They are fanatic. They are serious in their belief. They read Quran. They read Quran and they practice it. So like you might say, why ISIS killing people? Even most Muslims say that they're not Muslims. They're not true Muslims. So who are the true Muslims? But I call them real Muslims, because there are a lot of commandments in the Quran, like Surah 4, verse 4. You believers, whenever you see unbelievers, struck their heads off. Whenever you see unbelievers, means non-Muslim, struck their heads off. That's why we see ISIS, you know, binding people's hand. You know, you've seen the picture in Egypt. You know, they had to kneel down like that and binding their hands, and they would cut their heads off. That's why they read Quran and they practice it. They are real Muslims. But many Muslims in the world do not do that. They are nice Muslims, nice people, very nice. Why? Because Quran is an Arabic book, and you have to read it in Arabic. And if you read it in Farsi or in English, you don't get reward for it. So they tell you not to read it. So you have to learn, as a Muslim, you have to learn Arabic. You don't learn the language, really. You just learn the language of Quran, just to read it. So many Muslims in the world do not speak in Arabic language. Like in Indonesia, there are 300 million Indonesians. They don't speak Arabic. They don't know what Quran says. On Iran, Afghanistan, Tajikistan, there are 110 million Farsi-speaking people in the world do not know Arabic, but they are Muslims. Or Turkey, 80 or about 100 million Turkish do not speak Arabic at all, but they are Muslims. So more than half of the Muslims speak in different language. That's why they are nice people. But very few people, I would say 10%, are fanatic, real Muslim, real, I mean, Quran practicing Muslim, that they kill others. So true Muslims should cut your heads off, cut my head off. So they are Sunnis, they practice it, they read Quran. They are like liberal, like Christians. They don't read Quran at all. They might read once or twice a year during festival days and, you know, religious days, and they don't practice Quran at all. They have lots of traditions. Traditions like Day of Ashura. Day of Ashura is a day when all the Muslims go out on the street and they cut their bodies, like self-harming. They use like chains and sword. They, you know, hit the sword on their head And blood is everywhere on that day. You can see the blood is flowing on the street. They cut their bodies. You know, they are sinking in the blood on that day. It's horrible. As you know, 450 prophets of Baal, 450 false prophets of Baal. That's what they did. They prayed to their god Baal to send fire from heaven, and there was no answer. They started to cut their bodies. And that's what false religion. So another tradition that they have is like they have beads, like rosary. They pray, peace be upon Muhammad, peace be upon Muhammad, many times. They think that by doing that, they get reward in heaven. And another tradition, like they believe in Mahdi. Mahdi is a person that Shiites believe that he's going to come back one day with Jesus Christ. And when he comes back, he's going to destroy the cross, and he's going to tell it is a false religion, and he's going to kill Christians and Jews. And Jesus Christ, who's going to come with Mahdi, he's going to lead people to receive Mahdi, to worship the Mahdi. And so it sounds like the Antichrist of the Bible. And the false prophet Isa, or Jesus Christ, they call it Isa. Isa is like second beast, the false prophet causing the world to turn to this first beast, the Mahdi, to worship the Antichrist. And Antichrist, I mean, the Mahdi, that they don't call it Antichrist, but they call him Mahdi, the savior of the world. He's going to come, and he's going to bring 7 years of peace to this world. Satan knows that. 7 years of peace. That's what Antichrist will do. You know, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 talks about. He shall confirm with many people 1 week. He shall confirm the covenant. Anyway, so this is tradition in a Shia family. So I learned to pray, and my grandma, I was about 6 years old, 6-7 years old, and my grandma told me about hell. And I said, what is hell? And she said, hell is a burning place, a place of punishment. And if you die, you might go there. I said, I don't want to go to hell. Can you help me to go to a better place after death? She said, there is heaven, a beautiful place. I said, can I go to heaven? She said, yeah, you may, but there is a bridge is made of one thin hair. Imagine one thin hair. This is a bridge. You have to walk on it and cross that bridge and make your way into heaven. And underneath the bridge, there is lake of fire, burning fire. And if you're a bad person, you might fall into the lake of fire to be burned. And I was so scared. 6 years old, you know, a boy, scared to death. I said, can you help me? I don't want to go to hell. Can you help me to be saved from hell? And she said, if you Islam and pray 5 times a day, be a good Muslim, you'll be able to cross that bridge. I said, can you teach me to pray? So she said, yes, come here and face toward Mecca. So I faced toward Mecca, and you know, they have compass that they use to find that direction towards Mecca, because Allah is only in Mecca. He's not omnipresent like Jesus Christ. He's only in Mecca. So he said, pray like this. Say, Qul huwa Allahu ahad, Allahu samad, lam yalid wa lam yulad, wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan. I said, what was that? I didn't understand what you said. And she said, that's the prayer that you have to pray, Arabic. And I speak in Farsi or Persian language. I didn't understand Arabic at all. She said, that's the prayer, you have to learn it. I said, I don't know, can you teach me at least one word at a time so I can memorize it? So she taught me to, you know, memorize one word at a time. So I did memorize the verse. And so I had to pray 5 times a day. Like each time I had to memorize the same verse 13 times over and over. And Jesus said, when you pray, don't be like heathens. You know, they think that by much speaking, they'll be heard of God. Don't use vain repetitions. But when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thine be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray like that, and it's awesome prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And so I prayed 5 times a day, each time 17 times, repetitions. But as I was growing up, I was committing sin, and I knew that I was doing wrong, committing sin. And I was scared of going to hell. I knew that this doesn't work. Just praying 5 times a day, it doesn't give me peace at all. I don't have peace. I was scared of going to hell. I said, Grandma, I'm scared of going to hell. I don't want to be there. Can you help me? I don't have peace about this. So she said, come, I'll take you to mosque. So we went to mosque together. You know, this is a place that Muslims worship. It's like a church. And in mosque, you know, we had to pray more and cry more. There is no singing, no music. We had to cry, beg Allah to have mercy on us. So I did, but still no peace. No peace. I was just trying to be a good Muslim, to be saved from hell. Tried my best. No peace in my heart. I was feeling guilty anytime I was committing sin. I was feeling guilty, you know. I didn't have peace in my heart. Then I went to university. A student there who was a religious leader, he was living in the same dorm as I lived. And we lived together in the same dorm. And we studied together and we prayed together. He inspired me to be more dedicated. So I was with him. We went to mosque together, prayed together. But when I finished my university, I started business with my friend, a construction company. And then I didn't have time to pray. I was with my life, starting early in the morning, finishing late. I had no time. I was going out, you know, on the job site, and no time to pray at all. So I lost my practices, didn't have time. And I hope this morning is not true with you. If you are busy with life, if you have business, or if you're working so hard that you don't have time to stop and pray and say, thank you, Jesus, for giving me this job and for saving my soul. I hope it's not true with you. You have to be so grateful that country where there is freedom, there is the gospel. You know, in Iran, I never heard in my life that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Never. Even once. I never heard that. Because there is no missionaries there. There is no pastors. There's no church to go to. Some Christians, they gather, you know, in house churches, underground churches that you don't know about. I never heard who Jesus Christ was. I just heard, you know, Jesus Christ, who was a wonderful prophet, that he healed many. He was a wonderful prophet, but Muhammad was the last prophet that Allah sent. But we had to follow Muhammad. So didn't have time to pray for 2 years. And then I didn't have enough budget to run my business. The government was very corrupt. Iran is horrible. This Ayatollah destroyed our country. And it's very corrupt. So we were working hard and, you know, jobs done, and government had to pay like every 10% of the job. They had to pay us our wages, and they didn't. We would go and ask for money, and they wouldn't give money. So the laborers, these people who were working for us, they were coming and knocking on my door asking money, and I didn't have money to pay them. So I said to myself, this is not going to work. This is horrible. People come knock on my door every day, and people, my neighbors and friends are watching me. You know, I'm a cruel person that I don't want to give their wages. This is very bad. If you don't give, you know, laborers wages, that's like very wickedness, you know, in Iran. And I said, this is not going to work. I need to get rid of this business. I don't want it. So I closed down my company, and I went to Tehran, the capital of Iran, to look for a job. So I was looking for a job and walking around, and I noticed this sign saying International Travel Agency. I always had a dream to go overseas to seek for, you know, freedom and prosperity, because in Iran we don't have any freedom at all. No freedom of religion. You have no choice, you know, to choose any other religion. You have to be Muslim. You are born as a Muslim, you have to stay Muslim. And if you convert to any other religion, they'll kill you for your conversion. That's why it's been 12 years that I haven't been back to Iran. If I go back, they'll kill me right away at the airport. But anyway, so I was seeking freedom. I wanted to get rid of Iran, horrible country, no freedom of religion, no freedom of speech. And Ayatollah destroyed our, you know, wealth that we had, freedom, everything that we had. So I wanted to go overseas. That was like a dream. It's so hard for Iranians. It's like a dream to get out of Iran only, to go any other country, because they don't give you visa. It's so hard to get visa to any other country. I went into this agency, and I noticed that they send educated people to Australia. that I was able to apply for that visa, and I got work and holiday visa for 3 years. So I went home, I said to my family, I said, I've got my visa and I'm going to Australia. And they were so upset, so sad that I had to leave my country, my family, and go to a far country. So I did. And my mom put a copy of Quran in a tray along with, and she said, can you kiss this son, Quran and go underneath it, so this Quran can protect you from danger, from falling away from faith, so you can stay strong in your faith. And she poured the bowl of water behind me as a symbol of health, so I can stay healthy, not to be sick overseas. So I left country and flew to Australia in Sydney. So I arrived there, and before going to Australia, I went to English class for about 2-3 months just to learn basic, and it was not really not helpful at all for 3 months. So I learned a bit just the basic. So I went to Australia, and I heard that Australians speak in English. So I learned a bit English, and I went there, and I had this address, my friend who was from my hometown, he was in Sydney. So I had to look for him and find him. So I got the address, I wanted to assign this address. I had no idea where to go, I didn't know the place. So I said, excuse me, sir. And he's like, good day, mate, how you going? I thought these people are speaking English. What language was that? Good day, mate. What is good day? And later on, I found that was good day. Like, and mate, what is mate? Like power? What is he trying to say? I'm asking for address. And mate means mate, M-A-T-E, like friend, buddy. Showed me the address. I was so confused. I thought that these people speak English, but they speak in very different accent anyway. So I found this address, my friend, and my friend took me to an apartment where about 4 or 5 Persians were living, and so I could stay with them temporarily till I found a place to live. So I went there, and I noticed that 1 out of 5 Persians converted from Islam to Christianity. And I remember my father back in Iran, Zar, filthy and ungodly, unclean, very bad people. Why? Because in Iran we watch Hollywood movie on satellite dishes, and we see all the fornications and uncleanness on this movie and Hollywood movie, and we think that they represent Christianity. Therefore, Christians are very ungodly people, filthy people. So I noticed that the place was religiously unclean. I said, look, thank you for offering me the place to live, but I can't, I need to go. I didn't tell them the reason, but I left the place. I went somewhere else, found another place, and worked so hard for 3 years. And after 3 years, I just enjoyed the freedom and prosperity, and everything that I needed was in Australia. It was a beautiful country, you know, kangaroos and koalas, the crocodiles, and I just love the country. Beautiful, so good, and people are like about 20-25 million is the population of Australia. So I wanted to stay in Australia, not to go back to that country where there was no freedom, no opportunities. There are a lot of educated people looking for a job and they can't find any job. So I didn't want to go back. I wanted to stay in Australia. But I wasn't able to apply for another visa or extend my visa anymore. But I was working a part-time job in a restaurant, and there was a man there who was a Christian, a Persian. He said, if you want to stay in Australia, to help you. I said, how can you help me, an infidel? He said, well, if you come to our church and convert to Christianity, you'll be able to apply for a protection visa and stay in Australia. And I said, what is protection visa? He said, well, if you convert to Christianity, you know, in Iran, you can't go back. If you go back there, they'll kill you. I said, yeah, you're right. But he said, Australian government, they'll protect you. They'll give you protection visa. You can live permanently in Australia. I said, no way. I'm going to be infidel like you. Get lost. So I ignored him. But after like a few weeks, the time was, you know, passing by so quickly, and my visa was about to expire. And I remember my father telling me in Iran, he said, if you miss one prayer and fasting, you have to pray and fast 60 times more to make it up. And I remember two years in Iran and 3 years in Australia, I never prayed, never practiced. So 5 years times, how many years is that? 300 years. I had to pray and fast for 300 years. So I realized that I'm lost. I'm going to hell. Allah is not going to save me. He's not going to forgive me. I'm a lost person. So if I die, I'm going to hell anyway. What's the point of claiming to be Muslim without practicing? So I said, at least I can go to church and pretend that I'm a Christian, because in Islam, Quran commands that for the advance of Islam, you are allowed to deceive and cheat others so you can advance Islam. So I said, I know how to do this. I'm going to go to church and tell them, yes, I'm a Christian now. I converted, so I can get this visa and stay in Australia. I'm going to do that. So that was my motivation. And I called my friend. I said, look, I am happy to come to church with you today on Sunday. He said, "Yo, that's great. Let's go together." So we got on the car and on the way going to church. And I was very nervous going to church. Never read the Bible. I never seen Bible in my life. Didn't know how Christians pray. I was nervous and I didn't know, you know, how am I going to pray with them, with these Christians? Am I going to pray in Arabic language or in Farsi or in English? Or am I going to face toward Mecca or towards Jerusalem or towards America? How am I going to pray? I was nervous. And apart from that, I'm going to be among like filthy, ungodly, stressful. And so it was very stressful for me. I was nervous to go to church. So I walked to that church and just people came to me one after another. Hi, welcome to our church and thank you for visiting us. And I realized that these people, at least they are good kind of filthy people. They're nice and friendly, you know, very friendly people. And I noticed that they were singing and rejoicing. They were like music. Amazing to see people were happy and rejoicing. Because in Islam, we cry. We don't sing. We don't have music. All we have is just mourning and crying, weeping and wailing, gnashing of teeth we have, so Allah can have mercy on us. And I enjoyed these people, you know, singing. It was amazing to me. And then they gave me a copy of the Bible. So I got my Bible. They told me to read from New Testament. So I said, okay, I'll read it from New Testament. So they said, read it from the Gospel of Matthew. So I did. I took it home and I started, you know, reading Matthew in chapter 1. And I said, this is a boring book. You know, Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat, you know, all begat. What is this begat? This is horrible. At least Quran is better than this. And so I kept reading it in chapter 2 and 3 and 4. And it was just burning with fire. It was just, I realized that there is something in the person in it talking to me. It was so powerful. You know, Jesus said, you have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Yes, this is Islam. In Islam, we had to love our neighbor, our Muslim brothers, and we had to hate enemies like non-Muslims. We had to kill them. There's a commandment. Well, Jesus said, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. It's different. Jesus is so different than Muhammad. He said, love your enemies. Well, if you love your enemies, they'll be embarrassed. They'll come and seek for peace. But if you kill your enemies, their relatives will come and they'll fight back with you, and there'll be war and, you know, conflicts all the time. That's what we see in Islam, in Islamic countries all over the world. They kill each other, they kill others. But Jesus said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. This was so powerful. I loved reading the Bible. I didn't want to put it down. I was just reading every day, hours and hours. So I read a New Testament, I finished it. And I said, this is not enough. I had to read from the beginning. So I went to Genesis, started from Genesis to Malachi. And it was about 4 weeks' time I read through the Bible. Like once in 4 weeks' time. It was just so powerful. I didn't want to put it down. First time I found something, I knew that there is something in this that I need. I didn't know what it was back then because I wasn't saved. I was reading it. I got to have, you know, faith in Jesus Christ. I knew that, you know, he was the Son of God. I didn't understand the meaning of it, but I had faith by reading the Bible and going to church there, which was an Anglican church. And this church was dead. Dead church. They were preaching, you know, God is love. He loves us. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But they didn't tell us why he died on the cross. They didn't tell us that we have sin problem. We have problem, the sin problem. We have sinned against God. Our sin will take us to hell. They didn't tell us. So they were just preaching love, love, love. God is love, which is good. But what did he do? Why he died on the cross for our sins? They didn't preach the gospel. They didn't share the gospel with me. I had faith in Jesus Christ, but no changes. I was the same wicked person. I was just committing sins in Australia, living as wicked, as a devil. No changes in my life for a few months that I went to that church. I asked pastor to baptize me and give me a support letter so I can take those letters and certificates to immigration and apply for a visa to get this protection visa. And they didn't help me. And I realized that I wasted my time in that church. And there was a friend there in that church. He said, I know a Baptist pastor who can help you with this. I said, what is Baptist? He said, they are like a group of Christianity that they worship in a different way. I just tell you, you're not going to like this church. Their dress code is like weird, so horrible, old-fashioned. They are way behind the world. Their music is like very, like so old-fashioned. You're not going to like it, but I promise you they'll help you. I said, I don't care about how they worship, how they dress, you know. If they help me, I'm happy to go to this church. So he called Pastor Keith Piper, and I spoke to him, made an appointment with him for the next day. So on 29th of August 2009, I went to... So in 2006, I went to Australia. After 3 years, in 2009, I met Pastor Keith Piper, pastor of Liberty Baptist Church. And he spent 5 hours with me. He told me, first of all, he said, Michael, you know the sun in the sky sets every afternoon. Do you believe that sun sets in a spring of black, muddy, hot water? Is that true or false? I said, well, it's false because sun is like over a million times bigger than Earth, and it's impossible for sun in a spring of black, muddy, hot water. That's false. He said, yes, you're right. Would you read Quran chapter 18, verse 83 to 91? So I read Quran and I realized that, yes, that's what it said, that sun sets in a spring of black, muddy, hot water. So this man read and summarized Quran twice. He was a teacher of Quran and Islam. So I'm learning my religion from a Baptist pastor after like many years. So he taught me 18 mistakes in the Quran. And each time he said, this mistake, Allah is a false God, Muhammad is a false prophet, Islam is a false religion, and Quran is a false and lying book. You can throw away Islam and have happy life. I said, okay. And then I was just confused. I thought that Quran was the word of God. So first time he's telling me that there are mistakes in the Quran, historical mistakes, scientific mistakes, and many mistakes in the Quran. He told me that Allah was the moon god that Arabs worshipped before Islam was founded, in pre-Islamic Arabs. That's why we see today crescent moon on top of Sunni mosque. There is crescent moon. And on Islamic flags, like Turkey has crescent moon, Iran has crescent moon on it. Many Islamic flags have crescent moon on it. You go on website, you search for like who was Muhammad or Allah, you see Islamic website, you see crescent moon on the website always. Or fasting during the month of Ramadan, they see the moon. By seeing the moon, they break their fasting after 1 month. So what's this got to do with moon? Got nothing to do with the moon. But the moon was their god before Islam was founded. Muhammad brought this, you know, worship of the moon god, and he just called it monotheism, means worshiper of one god, not trinity, but just one god. So we worship one. He called it, you know, that god, Allah, created. So he wrote the book called Quran. And but anyway, so he said this is the moon god. So I said, yeah, that makes sense. I understand that. So, and then he told me about Jesus Christ and how he can be the son of God. And that's a big problem for Muslims. Because in Islam, we believe in one God. God doesn't have wife and he hasn't got son. And Muslims think that we Christians, when we say that Jesus, we believe that God has a wife, therefore he has a son. That's what they think. But he told me about the meaning of son. He said in Greek, there are two words for son. New Testament is written in Greek language. The first one is technon. Technon is a physical son, derived by parents. Jesus is not the physical son of God or technon of God. But the second word for son is huvios. Huvios means same nature as. Same nature as. For example, John is the son of... John has a peaceful nature. Or Hitler is a son of war. That means his nature is like he wants to fight. And that is used for Jesus Christ. Huvios, not technon. Huvios means same nature as. Jesus is same nature as God. Means any attributes that God has, Jesus had. For example, God is the only one who can raise people from the dead and give life to the dead body. God is only able to do that. Jesus did that. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Came out of the grave. He was alive. By his word, by his command, dead rose again. Or God is the only one who can, you know, forgive sinners. And Jesus said, my son, thy sin be forgiven thee. He forgave sinners. And God is the only one who can turn water into wine or walk on the water, and Jesus did that. So Jesus is huvios of God, son of God, same nature as God, part of God. Jesus said, go in nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In the name, not singular, not names. He said name is one God. Jesus said there is one God. But he said in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So Jesus said there is one God, but in three parts. And in Genesis 1:26, we read that God made man in his image. There is similarity between God and man. God is Trinity, and he made man Trinity. We have three parts, body, we have soul, spirit. God is the same, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In his image, he created us. So that made sense on that day. And he told me about, you know, the verses from the Bible that exalts Christ, that he is God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were created by him. Without him was not anything that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of only begotten, full of grace and truth. And on that day, Jesus was exalted. He said, he is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creatures. For by him were all things created, whether it be in heaven or in earth, you know, thrones or principalities and powers and dominions. All things were created by him and for him. So on that day, I realized that Jesus is not he's not a prophet, but he is the Almighty God. Amen. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Counselor, the Mighty God. Amen. He was the Mighty God on that day. He was exalted. The Holy Spirit was teaching me and convicting me on that day that Jesus was God. No man can call Jesus God but by the Holy Spirit, Bible tells us. And then he told me about the gospel. He used gospel tract called Stop Tract. Stop Tract, and 4 points he said. First of all, can you read this passage? Number one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said, do you agree that you and me and everybody in the world have sinned against God? I said, yes, I know that. I'm a sinner. So he took me through 10 commandments, and I had, you know, I realized that I had broken all of them. I was a sinner. And he said, there is a punishment for sin. The punishment is hell. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. That means if you sin, you're going to die. That's physical. Physically, you're going to die. That's first. There is second death. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Revelation 20:14. Lake of fire is the second death. I said, grandma was telling me about when I was a child. So that means, yes, there is hell. Because God is just and he's holy. He can't just forgive me, a sinner with no basis. If he had to forgive me, he had to forgive all people. So all people can go to heaven and make heaven like filthy. So he had to have a base for forgiveness. That's why he came. He died on the cross. He said, number three, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. and rose again. He died for our sins. He paid the penalty for our sins. You know, we had to die and be burned in hell forever. But he loved us so much that he suffered on the cross. They nailed him on the cross. They put a crown of thorns on his head. He shed his blood on the cross for us. I said, I heard that in the previous church that I went to. But what's my responsibility from hell? Does that mean Jesus died on the cross, everybody is going to heaven? He said, no, what you have to do is you need to believe mentally, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, died on the cross for your sins and rose again. You have to believe it, but it's not enough. You have to receive him as your personal Savior. You have to, because you need a Savior. As a sinner, where are you going? I said, I'm going to hell. Yes, you're going to the lake of fire. So, salvation, the only way. God has a plan, only one plan to save you from hell, and it's not a religion. It's not church. Church won't save you, or baptism, or your good works, your religion, your parents. Nothing can save you. Jesus, he knew that nothing can save us. He came as a man, died on the cross, paid the penalty for our sins, and rose again, and he appeased God's wrath. And so that means he became the Savior of the world. He is the Savior. You have to receive him as your Savior, and then he'll save you. He'll save you from hell, and he'll give you eternal life. So eternal life is not a religion. Eternal life is a person. You need to have that person to have eternal life. He that has the Son has life. He didn't say he that has the Baptist church has life. Now, he that has the Son has life. So you need to have the Son of God in your heart so you can have life. Why? Because he is life. He is eternal life. So you need to have to be in his life to live forever. And what you have to do, you have to receive him by faith in your heart. Have faith in your heart to Jesus and receive him as your Savior. Call upon him. There's a promise. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So if you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, he said, what God is going to do to you? Become the sons of God. I'll be a son of God. He said, yes. So you have to receive him as your Savior. That's your responsibility you have to do. You have to receive him. Make you to be one of his sons. And second promise in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, anybody. Elects, non-elects, anybody can get saved. If you're not elect of God, you can be an elect today. You can call upon Jesus' name and be in his family. And for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, what's your responsibility in this verse, in this promise? I said, I need to call upon the name of the Lord. And what he's going to do is going to save me, shall be saved from hell. I said, that makes sense. Can I call on the name of the Lord? I don't want to die without Jesus Christ. I don't want to die without Jesus and go to hell. I don't know what's going to happen to me next minute or tomorrow. I don't want to put it off. Can I pray now? I want to get saved now. I might die just after leaving you. He said, yeah, go ahead and pray. So I closed my eyes and I said, Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner, but I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and rose. Lord Jesus, I ask you to save me from hell and take me to heaven. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I opened my eyes, everything was changed. New life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Everything was new on that day. I was just rejoicing, shouting for joy that I knew that I'm saved. I know that if I die now, I'll be in heaven. Why? Because I know whom I have believed. That he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know whom I have believed. He doesn't tell lie like a man. He gave us these promises in the Bible. If you call upon the name of the Lord, he'll save you. I challenge you. If you're here and you're not saved, you're not sure of going to heaven, God doesn't want you to be a religious person. He wants you to trust him. Trust his word that he said, if you call upon my name, I'll save you. And Jesus is the only way. He said, I am a way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. But by me, that means the only way. He is exclusive. He is the only way. But by faith, come to him, come to Jesus, and ask him to save you. He'll save you. Just today. Easy. God didn't make it difficult for us to get saved. You know, religion. In Islam, I had so many burdens. They tell you to pray 5 times a day. Imagine about 4 o'clock in the morning, you have to. If you miss one prayer, you have to pray 60 times more. You don't want to pray like hours and hours and waste your time, and you can't work even. So you get up 4 o'clock in the morning, you have to wash and purify your body first, and then pray. In the morning, who would like to get up at 4 o'clock and pray? I want to sleep in the morning. So five times, and you have to cut your bodies and go to mosque and pray this, pray that, give 20% of your tithes, and 20%, what do you call it? I don't know. But anyway, so they give you burdens, many burdens. So what Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I'm lowly and meek, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His burden is light. His burden is love. He said, love your enemies. That's what he told us to do. As a Christian, you ought to love. Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart and might and strength, and then lose as yourself. That's his burden, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful to be a Christian and love others. But religion, they tell you to go and kill your enemies and pray, and heavy burdens they put on your shoulder that they can carry. Muhammad wasn't able to carry them, and he wants us to carry those burdens. But Jesus, he carried all our sins on himself on the cross. And then I went home next to my bed on the first day when I got saved. I said, Lord, I'm sorry to get this visa. I'm sorry for that. I don't care about visa anymore. I'm happy to go to Iran and serve you there. I don't want to be just an average Christian, just a churchgoer. I want to serve you. I want to do something for you. Would you use me, Lord? So I surrendered my life to Jesus on the same day. And the Lord called me to Bible college. And I went to Sydney Bible Baptist College and graduated there in 2014. But when I got saved, I remembered my parents, my family, that they were all lost. Very nice people. My mom was so loving. My dad so hardworking. Very devout Muslim. And they were praying, you know, seeking God. Not seeking God, but trying to please Allah on their own way, religious way, but lost. So I called them. I said, Mom, I want to give you good news. She said, what happened? I said, I became a Christian. She said, what? How dare did you become Christian? You to be a Christian. I said, Mom, I asked Jesus to save me today, and he did. He changed my life. He forgave my sins. And he died on the cross for your sins too. You need to ask him to save you. You need him. He's the only way. She kept rejecting the gospel. And I knew that there is only one way to reach my family. Because there is like a Christian channel that we can watch through satellite TV. And I knew that it's possible, and through satellite TV, they'll be able to hear the gospel. And I prayed. I said, Lord, would you help me to go on satellite TV one day and Christian channel and preach the gospel so my family can hear the gospel and get convicted and get saved? Would you help me? So I prayed for many years. I prayed almost like every day for my family's salvation. And after 8 years, I had a phone call. And George Zaris, who is the founder of Christian Radio International, asked about you. I want you to come to the States and preach the gospel in our studio. So we're going to deliver your messages into Iran through satellite TV. I said, oh my, God is so good. After 8 years of praying, and he's been praying for an independent Baptist preacher in Farsi language for 4 years. He's been seeking, how many of you know any Farsi preacher, independent Baptist? I don't know any, apart from me. There are not many around. A lot of Iranian Christians are charismatic, Pentecostal, but I don't know any Baptist one. But the Lord used me and he trained me. He prepared me after 8 years. He said, now is the time now. Now is the time. Now it's the accepted time. So he called me and I was happy to go come to the state last July. Last year in July I came. I went to Dawsonville, Georgia, and I preached 70 messages and we recorded it. And messages. And then for second time in January, I came to the States to study my, you know, my master's degree, to study master at the Bible College. And But the Lord opened new doors. While I was here, Hormuz Shariat, who's got this satellite TV in Dallas, Texas, he said, can you come to the 3 studio? I want to meet you. So I went there, and he put me on a live program for an hour. And after an hour ended, people were calling from Iran. They were just so happy. They were rejoicing that they could learn the Bible through TV, because there is no church in Iran to go to and learn the Bible like we do in here. And one lady was just crying with joy. She said, thank you for teaching us the Bible. I got saved through this channel. Thank you for teaching us the Bible. They were just so happy that they could hear the gospel. They could learn the Bible through TV. So grateful. So I told Georgia, he said, I don't want Michael just one day or 2 days a week. I want him 5 days at least, five days a week. And while I was just traveling around and raising some fund for broadcasting those 70 messages, because we need thousands of dollars to buy the airtime and deliver the messages into Iran. While I was just traveling, another ministry called Voice of Christ Ministry in Oregon, they have a radio called Mojde, Radio Mojde, that they put Iran through radio. So they offered me, they said, can you preach five times a week, every day? And each day they're going to repeat same sermons in different hours, three times. So the Lord opened new doors, satellite radio, internet radio, and also I had satellite TV as well. And also in south of Iraq, in Basra, as he mentioned, Pastor mentioned that Christian Radio International, they have three radio stations in the north. One is Baghdad, and another one is one in Mosul, another one in Baghdad, another one is in Basra. Mosul, Baghdad, and Basra. Basra covers about 1 million Persians in southern Iran. And they're going to broadcast my sermons through that radio station into southern Iran as well. So four different medias, the Lord opened these new doors that I'm not going to have time to study my master's degree. And Brother George Zeri, but to focus on preaching. And I said, okay, I'll do that. So I need you to pray. Pray a few things. First of all, for the salvation of my family. I was able to lead three of them to the Lord in 2013. One of my brothers, one of my sisters, and my niece got saved. But my parents and other siblings, they're not saved yet. Pray for their salvation. And then pray that the Lord can use these messages that I preached already, and I'm going next week. On Monday, I'm going to Georgia, to Dawsonville, to preach again another probably 20 or 30 messages. Pray that the Lord can use these messages to save many Iranians. Iranians are wide open to the gospel. They are sick of Islam. After 40 years, they are awakened. They say, we don't want Islamic government anymore. We don't want Islam. They don't want it, but they're seeking the truth. They seek God. They are hungry for the Lord, for God. And in Sydney, that I've been preaching last years, so we have two services, Farsi service and English service, that I've been preaching in Farsi to Farsi-speaking people in Sydney. And I have led over 500 Muslims, Iranian Muslims, to the Lord last 7-8 years. They are open to the gospel. They just need somebody to tell them how to be saved. They need your prayers. They need your financial, you need to support this ministry so we can put those sermons online, on the air, satellite. So pray for the salvation of Iranians, to this country can turn into Christianity from Islam. It can happen. And also pray for a few things. For my family salvation, for these sermons to change Iran, and also pray for I'm here for 3 months now, and I don't know whether I'm going to go back to Australia or stay in here, because I'm going to preach every day. I seek God's direction on that. And also I pray for a car, so pray for a provisional car as well. So we got a video presentation now. That's my ministry back in Sydney. We're going to watch now, and then I'll leave that with Pastor. Thank you, and God bless you. I've got a prayer card. You can get my prayer card on the table there outside, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Michael Germi. I was born and raised in a Muslim family in Iran. From my childhood, I learned how to practice my religion, Islam. In 2006, I had to leave my country, Iran, to immigrate to Australia, and my family, Australia, under the protection of Quran.
With that, as you read the front page, first of all, if you'd be so kind, and the verse underneath, please. Can I ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior?
Sure.
Okay. Go ahead and pray that to God, please.
Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. When I got saved, on the same day, I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ for the ministry.
Jesus Christ is dead. Raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you.
The Lord called me to Sydney Bible Baptist College, and I studied 4 years and I completed my theology degree.
Is entitled Goals for Every Christian. Lesson 1 has been Revival Every Morning. Acts 17:11, we must search the scriptures daily. Here is a stop track. Okay, learn how to explain this to people. Give tracks to people.
But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wages of sin is death. Do you want death or do you want life? Do you want to die forever in hell or do you want to have eternal life?
We believe he died, buried, rose for our sins, and we want to live for Jesus. Thank you.
My name is Maji Shariati. I was born and raised as a Muslim in Iran. When I came in Australia in 2013, my friend Abbas told me about liberty. When I came to this church, Brother Michael told me about how Jesus died on the cross for us, for my sin, and I received Jesus as my Savior. And now Jesus is my God, Jesus is my Lord, is my Savior. I love him so much and I want to live for him.
Hi, my name is Akbar Khanzadeh. I was born in a Muslim family in Iran. And when I came to Australia, Brother Michael Jeremy knocked on the door and he took me to Liberty Baptist Church and he did the preaching gospel with me and he told me about Jesus, how he died on the cross for my sin. And when I heard it from the testimony of Jesus, and I repent from my sin, and I pray, and I call upon as my Savior, and Jesus saved me. Now Jesus is my Lord. Now Jesus is my God. Now Jesus is my everything. Jesus is my heart. And praise the Lord. The Lord provide for me the Bible college, and I go to Bible college, and I study there about 2 years, and I want to be the good servant for glory, for magnify the Jesus name.
Hi, my name is Majid Moradi. I was born in Iran, Muslim family. In 2013, I came to Australia. My friend Majid Shariati invited me to Liberty Baptist Church. And in there, my brother Michael shared the gospel with me. And I found Jesus as my Savior. And after that, I got saved by blood of Jesus. And after that, I would love to live for him and follow him and spend life with him.
Amen. Ephesians 3:20 says, Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Isn't God good? He doesn't just love Americans. He loves everybody, doesn't he? That was moving. I really need to support that ministry. Amen. So we'll be talking about that. That's something to think about, how the God worked in his life. And, you know, the shame. People are dead, tone deaf to the gospel in America. They've heard the phrases, but that doesn't mean anything in the heart. He had a hard time understanding that I grew up in a preacher's home, but wasn't saved. I knew it, but I didn't know him. Maybe you're here today and you don't know him. And I'd compel you to make certain. You may have a head knowledge, but if you've never made a heart knowledge, a heart profession where you've called on Christ to save you, you need to make certain of that. Make certain of that. Brother, it's been wonderful to have you here with us. Like, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer just for a moment. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder if there's anyone here today who would say, Pastor, as a Christian, I pray that God would use me to touch lives of others, to be more faithful, to share the gospel. Pray that God would help me. Who'd slip up their hand? Amen. All over. Thank you. I wonder if there's anyone today that would say, Pastor, I know a little bit about religion. I've heard about Jesus, but I can't say that I know for sure if I died today I'd go to heaven. But I'm sure that I am saved. I'd like to make sure. Is there anyone like that today? I won't call on you. Is there anyone like that today? I'm not sure I am saved. No one else is looking. I am. Just slip up your hand real quick. Anybody? I'm not sure I'm saved. There's no hand raised. That means that everyone here today could stand before God and say, I know I've asked Jesus as my Savior. Is that true? It won't be me asking. It would be God. If you're not certain that you are saved, make sure. God wants you to make sure. And I wonder how many would say, Pastor, by the grace of God, I'm going to make a greater effort to pray for the people in darkness, that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ would shine unto them. Would you raise your hand? People like people in Iran and so on. Pray for them daily. And brother, make request, would you pray for God's direction in his life and the financing to fund the broadcasting in Iran, and just God's direction in the next few months in Brother Jeremy's life. How many would you raise your hand and say you'd pray for that? Would you do that? Thank you. Just a minute. We're going to stand together. If you're here, maybe you didn't raise a hand, but you're not sure you're saved. When we stand together and sing, I'd ask you just come down to the front, grab my hand, and say, Preacher, I really want to go to heaven. Hey, let's get that settled today. Maybe you'd like to just come and pray for your family that's not saved. Or maybe you'd like to pray for this missionary today. When we stand together and sing, would you come and pray? Or there at your own seat, come down to the front if you wish to pray. Let's let go and let God. Shall we stand together, please? Father, bless this invitation time. Stir our hearts for thee, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Jeff.
90, I surrender all.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my Savior.
Brother Jeff, on the table around the corner in the hallway are several prayer cards. I'd like you to pick one up to remember, pray for Brother Michael Jeremy. As I close in prayer, Brother Michael, I'm going to ask you to go to the back and you can shake folks' hands on the way out. They might have questions for you. There's prayer cards around the corner that you could pick up one of those if you would, please, and then Lord willing, see you in service. And what a great testimony. Amen. To God.
Amen.
Amen. To God. All right, let's bow for prayer. Father, we're grateful for your goodness, love, and grace. Lord, I pray that we as Christians, our church specifically, would become more greatly equipped and fervent in getting the gospel out here and around the world. We pray for your power and blessing. Bless now the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, amen. And you are dismissed.